Jim Taylor visiting with Brad Bickett. Let's talk about one of the great high school basketball stories. Well, almost the greatest basketball story ever. Not probably as great as the Alden Hebron story, but let's go back to 1986 in the two-class system and talk about a tiny little school, Ohio, enrollment 70, 41 boys. They get all the way to the state championship game but fall a little bit short. And I want to begin my conversation with Brad Bickett, who played on that team. There was a story in the Chicago Tribune talking about the team. They walk past and kiss crying mothers, an occasional dad with a seed corn cap on his head and a tear in his eye, and they kissed every Ohio baby that was brought to see the biggest day in this town's 109-year history. We're talking about tiny Ohio, Illinois in Bureau County. That's kind of a great way to describe 1986, Brad Bickett.
Yeah, it was, you know, just you saying that in that manner, it means an awful lot. You know, my teammates, our coaches, the community, and all of Bureau County and really all of Northern Illinois was behind us and supported us throughout our run. You know, it started back as we were just skinny little freshmen and a lot of hard work playing varsity, some then working on through our sophomore year, being successful junior year, getting to the super and, you know, having that dream, maybe our senior year, making it happen. And we were able to get there and not only get there, but win two games and get to the state finals, and didn't end the way we wanted it to. But, Ohio's a special place. It's a place where, you know, it's a rural farming community and everyone is so tight knit, close group. The support, throughout was just amazing, and it was a special time, and it grew me to be probably the person I am today, the coach I am, the teacher I am, the father I am. It all started then.
Well, and that's Norman Rockwell when you say a school, when I define art, of 70, getting to the final game of the season and have a chance to win the state title. Now, we know the Alden Hebron story in the one class, they won it all, but you just couldn't take the final step. How much do you miss those days? I mean, really, just kind of the nuances of playing and the emotions and the ride and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I missed my teammates and my coaches, obviously, the most. Those teammates, that we did everything together. I mean, there wasn't any football left in Ohio. Our enrollment, you know, and the numbers didn't allow for that. It was basketball or bust, and that's what we did. And our coaches, Coach Camrath, Coach Johnson, were, you know, just so instrumental in our success to drive us to be the best we possibly could and mold us into not only, you know, good basketball players, but good young men. And like I said, has built me to the person I am today. But the community people, Bureau County, Northern Illinois, as I mentioned before, the support was just remarkable, and you could just feel that we were kind of a, you know, like rock stars a little bit. People were following us and it jumped on our bandwagon, and we knew who we were representing, and there was no pressure. We just did what we did, and played the game of basketball to the best of our ability. And, like you said, those teammates and those coaches and those people in that community of Ohio will always be so special to me.
And how sad are you? You understand what today's environment is with demographics, and we talk about declining enrollment and declining population that has hit rural areas hard. Now, I can just give you a specific in my immediate area where I broadcast from. Mercer County plays United. So back in 1986, well, that's basically a small town round robin tournament of Aledo, Westmer, Monmouth Warren, Monmouth Yorkwood, and Alexis in 1986, the year you played. All right, 2018, it's Mercer County versus United. Get a little sad about that. I know the old timers in the coffee shop say, well, I miss getting my old Ohio Bulldog stuff out. You kind of understand how it happens, but it's sad too.
It truly is. And you see Ohio, you know, they're still there as a school. I think they have about 40 students. They co-op sports, I believe, with Lamoille. You know, they have some success. They just had a girl, I believe, that went through that was a 2,000-point scorer and now playing collegiately. So they have some individuals, and they do have some team success. But it is, you know, sad to see the smaller schools and the rivalries that we had. We talked about in that area, the Walnut versus Ohio, or Ohio versus Tiskwa, you know, or Manlis versus Tampico or something like that. You just don't have that now because, fortunately, I still teach at Bureau Valley High School and was a coach there for 15 years. And, you know, I was part of that, you know, Manlis, Wynette, Walnut, Butte Western coming together. And I watched our success not only in basketball where we had three state tournament trips, but also our football team and some of our other extracurricular teams have the success, and watch how it kind of bonds the community. And it was very similar to about how that happened in Ohio. That basketball team in Ohio brought that community together. That's what Bureau Valley has been able to do, and Mercer County with their success, you know, in football and their other athletics, it's still there. It's just not quite the same, but it is special. And these schools, it's neat to see them come together, though, and have the success that they are.
Well, I thought it was neat when I was talking to you before we started rolling tape here. You said the only two things I knew growing up was basketball and farming. I don't know what was first, and I don't know what was second. Maybe a tie. I think my listening audience can say, yeah, I can relate to that. So a farm boy that could hoop it up, too. And there's a lot of those stories in small school Illinois.
Absolutely. I mean, growing up, my family, when I was younger, through grade school, in elementary school, we were dairy farmers. And then there was a period of time then when we switched and we went to beef cattle, and we had Simmentals, we showed steers, we had Simmental heifers, and we went to shows. And so when I wasn't at basketball camp, I was at a county fair somewhere or state fair. And, you know, when I wasn't shooting baskets, I was baling hay. And there wasn't the weight training and stuff that we have now. It was, you know, you're showing corn or you're baling hay. That was your work. And it was just so neat. My parents, we had such a great close relationship and bond that, you know, they knew that how important basketball was to our community and what a special group that I was a part of. But you also knew that, hey, we live on a family farm and there's time to farm. That always took precedence as well.
So what did that teach you, the farm life? And you're still actively engaged in the summer, I think, as a seed corn rep. So when you reflect back on your years growing up on the farm, and maybe there were some things that you kind of missed out where mom or dad said, no, you can't do that. You know, we're doing this on the farm today. You know that, Brad. You can't do that. You got this responsibility first. And maybe you didn't understand those lessons at the time, and maybe you were mad at the time when some of that happened. But when you look back on that, how much do you think that molded you?
Oh, it's a significant part of who I am today. I mean, my parents and, you know, the community of Ohio and that rural farming background and that how much agriculture meant to that area. And, like I said, it molded me to the person, gave me discipline. It taught me work ethic. And, you know, now I'm a contractor, for Wiffles and for DeKalb Monsanto both. And we run about 300 kids in the summer roguing and detasseling. And, that is kind of my outlet now because, you know, my family farm has went by the wayside now, and, you know, we don't have any livestock anymore. So that's kind of my fix, walking that cornfield, cutting those rogues, pulling those tassels. I mean, some people may think I'm crazy out there in a 100-degree day doing that, but to me, that's my outlet, and that brings back some of those things. Unfortunately, that pulling that calf or being at that cattle show, that's no longer part of it, but that competitiveness that I learned wanting to win that steer show or win that heifer show, yeah, I kind of get that fix still coaching too and wanting to be a competitor and wanting to be the best I can and make my team the best they can possibly be. So it all goes full circle, Jim, and it's all about, you know, competition, and it's all about being dedicated and being passionate about what you do. And that's what farming and that's what rural, you know, America does for a guy.
Man, that's an awesome description, by the way. And I know when I've talked to Mike Poposi, the coach who just retired at Newman, I know he was involved in it I don't know if he still is, but for a long time, you know, in the summer, he was involved in a detasseling crew. And I know Alex Kopians over at Anawan had a roguing crew. And I remember one time I asked Coach Poposi, this is a guy that won 7,000 state championship games or something like that. But I said, Coach, I said, what's tougher? I said, running that detasseling crew or coaching high school football? And he looked at me and he said, you kidding, man? He says, it's the detasseling crew. You can relate to that too, I'm sure.
I tell you what, it is. It's challenging. And if anybody knows me, they know I'm a competitor and I'm a winner and I want to be the best in everything I do. So when I'm working out there, either for my Wiffles crew, I'm working for my DeKalb Monsanto crew, I want to have the best detasseling roguing crew out there. Bottom line, I want our kids to be disciplined. I want our kids to have a reputation for being hard workers. And, you know, this day and age, the clientele we get, it's a challenge, but I take it personal and I want to make those kids better. I want to teach them some work ethic like my parents taught me, and hopefully it'll lead them to be more successful in life. So if it's not coaching, it's being that contractor that I feel like I can give back to some of the kids here in the area, whether it be Bureau Valley or in the Rock Falls, Sauk Valley area, I guess.
And every story can have its own success. But can there be a story like Ohio again in 19? And I know you finished state runner-up, but even finishing state runner-up, so much recognition with the enrollment being only 70. What was the cutoff for 1A, 2A that time? Probably 800 or 900, something like that. And you have 70 kids and 41 boys. And maybe it's just because we're getting older. I grew up in the mid-80s, so I remember that story quite well. And I just don't think that, I don't know, are there stories like that anymore?
I don't know. With the smaller rural communities having to come together because of declining enrollment. Unfortunately, the HSA won't like me, but with the four class systems and how we tend to want to expand and have more state championships, it kind of, to me, waters things down and it takes away a little bit of the gratification for those teams in that when it was two class and you're at Champaign under the lights where the Flying Illini play. It's different now. It's a different feel, but I guess if you take me back to when I was coaching at Bureau Valley, when we went to the state tournament three consecutive years, I thought that was pretty special too, regardless of, you know, it was Western Wynette and Buda and Sheffield. We didn't care Walnut, Manless. It was gratifying that we'd come together and did something special, bringing that consolidation together and to know that we were kind of, making a statement that, hey, this can happen. We can bring all these smaller schools together and organize and be successful. And those athletic teams can help the parents, you know, sometimes are the ones that are hardest to get to buy in. I think we help bring that all together, and that's why Bureau Valley is such a great school district it is today. I think it was very successful in helping groom that.
Did you realize at the time when you were playing that, wow, you know, I'm a small – you just knew basketball and farming, and, you know, this is an archive story I got from the Chicago Tribune. And if you pick it up and – 1986 after the fact and you read that story, you're like, what, wait a minute, what? I mean, did you realize it at the time, you know, tiny Ohio, Illinois is becoming this statewide and maybe even this national story when you talk about a school of 70 and you talk about, you know, the kids don't understand. This is me starting to preach a little bit now. Kids don't understand modern history, because when you talk about the state basketball tournament today, they say, well, yeah, 2,000 people go to it down in Peoria. It's not a big deal anymore, Taylor. Right. Well, yes, it was in 1986 when there's 16,000 people watching a school of 70 play. I mean, did you realize at the time what you were doing?
You know, I thought it was really something special.
Well, your dad on the farm said, hey, don't get your head too big, boy.
No, I tell you what, one thing, we stayed pretty low key, nose to the grindstone. There was no egos or anything like that we have to deal with in this day and age. I think when, you know, before we left and the Chicago Tribune being there, that's when you kind of thought that, hey, this is maybe a serious movement when the Chicago Tribune comes to, or the Sun-Times comes to Ohio. But when you walk out of the tunnel and you go under the lights in Champaign, that's when you're like, okay, we've arrived. Now that we're here, let's do something about it. Let's trophy. Let's get a trophy. And we beat Decatur St. Teresa. We beat West Frankfort. And then to get into the title game versus Tautopolis was pretty special. I just wish the outcome would have been a little bit more different, but Tautopolis was an awesome ball club and we were pretty worn out, but, I think we were aware that it was a pretty neat movement, and the reception that we received by all of Bureau County and all of Northern Illinois when we got back to Princeton and the, in the caravan back to Ohio and the ceremony and everything, and the number of meals we had is complimentary, and, for our different restaurants in our area, you knew it was probably a pretty special movement, and I'm just glad that I was able to be a part of it.
Do you think kids today, I know we're going on here, but you bring up we talk about understanding like local history, right? And even if you play high school sports, understanding high school sports history. It was last winter I did a extended Title IX show with a couple of area coaches and kids that, I should say they're adults now, but were there at the barrier when they got the opportunity. And you look back and you're talking about 1970s, which is pretty modern for me and some of the kids today. Well, do you realize that, 25 years ago, your mom or your aunt,
right,
they weren't playing for the Golden Eagles because they didn't have that. They didn't. And then I even look at like your story and what you did. And there's so many examples, but I just, sometimes it drives me nuts. Do kids appreciate those type of stories that are in their backyard? I really hope they do, because there's a lot to be learned, and I think culture and heritage and community and history to me is so important. I don't know if that's just because I'm getting older or not.
No, I agree. I think as a teacher and as a coach, I'm always talking about, remembering who you're representing and that tradition that was there before you and those people that wore those players that wore the uniform before you. And, my kids personally, I have four kids, a daughter that's at Northern Iowa University right now. My son plays for me. He's a junior for the Rockets. And then I have two younger girls that are in junior high and elementary. And, I try to talk to them about those experiences. Their mom played at Manless. Their mom played at Sauk Valley Community College, and sports is a big part of it and our lives. And, a date night may be taking our kids and going scout somewhere. And unfortunately with, technology and video games and, socioeconomic things and, the kids and family households, it's just different now than what it was then. But I think when there's coaches that are out there like myself and educators that are out there trying to preach to our kids the importance of, remembering history and remembering those that played before you and to respect the game. I'm always telling my guys, respect your opponent, respect the game. I'm trying to relate the importance of, the history and the importance of, what a privilege it is to play the great game.
I'm just curious, do you ever get on the Illinois High School Glory Days website, IllinoisHSGloryDays.com? I tell everybody that's a site because it's a labor of love for those site authors. And it's also brings great sadness to them sometimes when you go on there. But it provides this great, local history lesson, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, there's all kinds of different opportunities where you can go to places like that, but unfortunately, too many kids are playing Fortnite rather than going to those Glory Days, websites. And like I said, but there's historians and there's coaches and educators like myself that try to point the kids in the right direction and put those video games away because, before you know it, time flies so fast and you're off at college and then you're into the real world and we teach our kids to compete and we want them to be successful in everything they do. And like you said, it's pretty important to me as an educator to give those kids those life lessons.
All right. As you go back to 1986, I'm just curious for you, what is the most, if I asked you, and before you answer, I would say, I bet you it's not the medal. If I ask you, what is the most important, memento, physical thing that you have from that 1986 season that really like strikes a chord to you? If your house is burning down, you're saying, honey, get that. I want that. Well, is it the metal? No, it's not the metal. It's something that for me is my personal connection to that moment. Is there something like that for you, you think?
Yeah, it's my jersey. Yeah, it's my, I still have it. I have my away jersey. My home jersey is retired and in the trophy case at Ohio High School currently. And, in fact, we had, a jersey night here, you know, kids, and they have their Hawaiian nights and they have their retro this and that. And they had a jersey night and I looked over, my son might have been a freshman or sophomore, probably a freshman. And I looked over and I see he's got my Ohio Bulldog jersey on. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I told my wife, it's been my daughter. It was probably her junior or senior year, or maybe it was one of my first years coaching here at Rock Falls. And it's jersey night. And I look over and my kids got on my Bulldog jersey. And I thought that was pretty special. You know, it looked like a thin, athletic Brad Bickett back then. So, that jersey that I have means a lot. So yeah, that's that.
And then I ask too, a lot of times when you take back these situations, and I'm glad you're giving me some extended time because I know our rule is listening on. It's just really gonna enjoy this. And you brought up the point, you said when I was in the tunnel, you know, it's like the scene when Gene Hackman or Norman Dale goes to the Butler Fieldhouse and, you know, they walk in there for the first time and see it. Was that the essence of the moment for you? Was it that, or was it a game situation? Or if I said, give me one memory, Bickett, that is synonymous with the 1986 Ohio Bulldog state runner-up team, is there one thing that really stands out?
I just, you know, I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think it was when Coach Johnson and Coach Kamrath walked us through that tunnel out onto the Assembly Hall floor, and the lights are so bright, and it was almost like Coach is looking at that rim saying it's 10 foot tall, just like everywhere else we've played. And that was just such a special moment. The games, it was just, hey, we're locked in, we're competing, regardless of who our opponent is and what their enrollment is and, you know, what jersey they're wearing. We want to win and we want to be successful. And for us as a team, it was all about representing Ohio and our community. And it just, we'd put in so much hard work. We just wanted to be successful. We loved playing together. And sometimes this day and age, it's so hard to get that perfect team chemistry. That's what we had. We had perfect team chemistry. And like you said, we knew who we were representing. And probably after the championship game, leave the La Quinta Hotel and go over to Bob Evans and, you know, have a late night meal. That's when it all kind of sets in that, man, I'm physically, mentally drained, but I have just got done playing three games at the Assembly Hall, at the state tournament, two class, and, you know, we're state runners up. There was no regrets. Everything that we had done to prep and to get, you know, to where we were, it was well-deserved, and just love my coaches, love my teammates.
Yeah, so you're talking about four games in 2 days because you played the super sectional game on Tuesday. So you say you love your teammates. So, you know, 1986, you're talking about guys that are probably, what, 51, 52, yeah, that are hopefully every one of them still living, right? Yeah. Now, how often do you get together? How often do you stay in contact? And how many kids were on that team, freshman to, I assume you had to dress some freshman all the way through senior on that roster.
Yeah, one of our top reserves was a freshman, Todd Etheridge, and he lives in Dixon, Illinois right now. He has some boys that have competed against some of my teams here at Rock Falls, so I see Todd on occasion. You know, some of the other guys live around the Princeton, Ohio area, and I'll see them in passing in, you know, say hello. And, you know, we always bring up some great memories that we have both on and off the floor. Lance Harris, who we were kind of the dynamic duo, as some would call, Thunder and Lightning. I don't near get to see Lance enough. You know, he's up in the Chicagoland area, him and his wife, and have had kids in sports, and kind of like my family, we're sports oriented, so we're never at home. And occasionally Lance will get back to do some farming or something in Ohio, but we just don't get to see each other as much as we probably should, because that relationship that we had, all of us, was such a close-knit group, and those memories that we made, it's hard to believe time has been going by so fast. And like you said, I turned 50 this last May, so I'm really feeling old right now, but it's something pretty special.
Have you guys had like a special team reunion, or do you want to do that, or something like that ever planned? Or do enough of you, have you ever got all together, maybe 10-year anniversary or something like that?
There's different anniversaries and stuff, or they have homecoming things, but the homecoming things in Ohio is on basketball because there's no football, and me being a coach, I'm usually playing, yeah. So I don't get to go back. So really haven't had a chance to get us together. Someone had said something this past summer that there's something in the making that they're going to get us all back. So it's something that we'd look forward to and getting back, yes.
All right, and the movie Hoosiers Den, I would assume that's, I mean, that resonates mm-hmm. with you if you ask Brad Bickett what his favorite movie is. I mean, I would say it's Hoosiers, isn't it? Because it's almost autobiographical. I'm not saying that your coach was that way or whatever, but I'm saying it's the storyline fits with Ohio, Illinois, with the exception of making the last second shot and winning the state title.
Yeah, absolutely. It's small school, rural community, and it's the game of basketball just brought everyone together, and the town, the community, the northern Illinois, so maybe even the state. I mean, there was people cheering for us that probably didn't even know where Ohio was, but they kind of knew our story and probably appreciated the way we played the game the right way. And Hoosiers, I remember that was something that, you know, we'll throw in and watch. It kind of brings a little tear to your eye. I know that you are part of something so similar to that.
Yeah, and then as far as some of the kids that you played with, do you know if they've ever got back, like, and went to a state tournament, or basically that's been their experience, and they said, you know, that's good enough for me because it's never what I ever do again, whether I watch it, coach it, whatever, it's not going to meet that expectation that I had of participating, so I don't want to go back right. and see it, if you know what I see. Do you have some of the kids you play with that are like that, that I probably haven't been to another experience like that, you think?
Yeah, I think some of the guys have just moved on with their, you know, their lives and their families. And, you know, I think all of them have kids and have been involved in athletics because they saw the experience that we had, and they want their kids to have the same type of experience and learn the same values that we learned from sports. And so all of them have kids and are involved and, you know, either play, you know, at the junior high school, collegiate level. So I think that was always important to all of us, and I'm sure it still is to all of those guys. But I'm sure they still go attend games, maybe at Ohio, some of those guys get back and stuff, but just a pretty special experience.
All right, so my last question to you then, where did you start playing basketball? Was it like a barnyard type of thing, or just kind of explain your first experience? Was it the, you know, the dirt floor, whatever? I mean, how did you pick up the game?
Well, it was in the hay mile.
Oh my God, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. It was in the hay mile on our rural farm in a barn where they were milking cows downstairs, and I was shooting basket upstairs, and my dad and brother were getting probably kicked because I was bouncing the ball while they were trying to milk the cows. So true story. My dad put a hoop up in the hay mile, and that's where I shot. And then off the corn crib, out on our family farm is, you know, I'd run up the corn crib and dunk and do all those crazy things. And, that's kind of where it all started. And I played for my brother when I was in kindergarten on the lightweight team. He was the coach, my brother. And I remember he put me in the game as a kindergartner, and lightweight would have been like the fifth and sixth grade game. And I was pretty good already in kindergarten. I was crying. He pushed me off his knee and said, go play. And after that, I never cried again. I always wanted to play. So that was back in Kaysbear, a little small town in between Ohio and Princeton. And that's kind of where it all started organized. But otherwise, before that, it was the hay mile and the corn crib.
Oh, man, it's an awesome story. And I tell people as we end our conversation, I mean, learning about some of the great high school stories in Illinois, if you're coaching out there or whatever, playing, you know, tell the kids how important that is, and tell them to go learn about the 1986 Ohio Bulldogs enrollment 70, 41 boys, two class basketball. They got all the way to the state title game and fall to the wooden shoes of Tutopolis. Brad Bickett, coaching at Rock Falls right now, coached at Bureau Valley, still teaches at Bureau Valley. Thanks for the history lesson today. And thanks for talking about you know, your farming background too. That's important, and that resonates, I know, with our listening audience. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Brad Bickett with us, and we'll have more coming up.